It's Wednesday, January 31st, and the Milwaukee Bucks are 4-0 since Joe Prunty has taken over head coaching duties. I guess you could say they're Prunt defeated. To baseball, the Milwaukee Brewers were active late last week, acquiring Christian Yelich and Lorenzo Cain, bolstering that outfield. Is David Stearns done? And it's Super Bowl week. Nolan Murphy checks in for the entire podcast this week on Tapping the Keg. You can follow us on Twitter at Mitch Ross MKE and at SnowTabWI. So without further ado, here's your host, Charlie Trichler.
Episode 270.
Mitch on the ones and twos. Charlie, you're
getting
with
us
you.
Going.
Let's go.
It took a little while to get started, but we are on the road to success. Mitch is here. We're both recovered from our Chicago day trip. A little Sunday fun day.
Yeah, it was good.
How you doing, buddy?
I'm tremendous.
You're good. You're good.
Yeah, life has been great the last week or so.
You bet. And no Jason Kidd. You know,
can I say?
The birds are chirping. The grass seems to be growing. Not really. But we're not on Radio Row this week, so we won't have irrelevant guests on. Instead, we will have the man, the myth, the legend, Nolan Murphy from ESPN West Palm. You can find him on Twitter at TheNolanMurphy. He's joining the podcast for the whole show. So, Murph, how you doing, bud?
Hello. Happy to be here for episode 270. I'm pretty sure that's my career three-point percentage, give or take. So, happy to be here. 270, I was thinking about that the other day.
Yeah,
Feels like yesterday we were on one of Mitch's crappy kitchen tables doing this.
Right, exactly.
You say that every time.
Hey, you have to though.
Hey,
you got to know where the glow up happens. So Murph will be diving in and out, just contributing when he may. He'll be the third member of our crew today and go back to, as he mentioned, the old school when we were doing a 3-man pod and everything like that. So good. Looking forward to that. We'll dive right in and talk about the Milwaukee Bucks, who are 4-0 since Joe Prunty took over. I don't think it really surprises anybody at this point, given the fact that the Milwaukee Bucks had an easy schedule and everything like this, and they just come out like gangbusters. Giannis's usage rate goes through the roof. So, Mitch, I'll ask you this. How much stock are you putting into the Bucks' hot start here?
As far as just whether it was, like, whether is there a huge difference?
I guess the question is, do we want to be cynical or do we want to be like, this is what the Bucks should have been all season?
I think it's obviously pretty clear that, you know, they were inconsistent against bad teams,
right,
with Jason Kidd. And to take care of business, they've won 4-0 since the move, and
right,
they've won, I think, their average margin of victory is like 13.5, something like that, in the four games. So they're taking care of business against these bad teams. The Phoenix game was the closest. That was obviously a very tough day, a very weird day.
Without Giannis, too.
Without Giannis. Firing the coach hours before the game. Phoenix was hitting some crazy Troy Daniels. That's his name, right?
Yep.
Troy Daniels hit some, you know, long three-pointers and stuff late in that game to kind of keep it close. You know, he had a big fourth quarter for them. Otherwise, I mean, Brooklyn, that game was pretty much over in the first quarter. The Chicago game on Sunday that we were at, the Bulls never really threatened that much.
No.
I mean, I know they kind of hung around a little bit, if you want to call it that, in the second half. You know, the Bucks weren't up by 30 by any means at any point, but the Bulls never got it within like 12.
I think the most impressive thing about that Bulls game, not to interject, but the most impressive part about that was the fact that Giannis had 5 points in the first half, and they were still up 18 points.
Yeah, and Bledsoe was 1 of 8 from
right
beyond the arc.
Yeah, and I went to the bathroom before the crowds came in at halftime at the UC, and the radio broadcast was talking to Bill Wennington and was like, Bill, if I were to tell you that the Bulls would be down 18 and Giannis would only have 5, what would you say?
Yeah.
It's like, I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
I mean, but and I couldn't believe that either. And
well, when you get, what, 3 threes from Terry and Jason Terry,
yeah,
in the first half.
Jason Terry has
Sterling Brown hit a couple.
Right. Yeah.
Johnny Henson's been good.
The thing about it is the Bucks finally kind of have started to have a bench because Joe Prunty's putting the right guys in
right
together.
And I think it's pretty obvious, just kind of the confidence and the free-flowing nature of the team right now has definitely, it's just, and maybe that's a bump from getting a new coach, and maybe we'll be pissed off about the team in a couple weeks again, but right now at least, they just look like a team that is just kind of playing free finally,
yep,
and not overthinking and not, you know, playing with tight buttholes, so to speak.
Yeah, I think.
And everything, you know, Giannis was 3-for-3 from beyond the arc on Friday against Brooklyn. So if he starts letting him fly, you know, the form's there. It's just a matter of having a coach, I think, that believes in you.
He shot 5 on Monday night. He only made one. He made that shot clock.
He tends to do that. I noticed that. He did make that one. For whatever reason, he tends to do it at like a buzzer of a shot clock or something.
Yeah, big moment.
The one where he shouldn't make.
Right. And that one kind of was the dagger for Philly. Right. I mean, Philly was, I think, only down 7 at the time. And Bucks, that's the other thing. Like that Philly game, Philly made a couple runs in that first quarter, and then the Bucks hit a big shot and then just.
Yeah, Philly's sneaky good even without Embiid. They're probably not a playoff team without Embiid.
Right.
But I bet if Embiid never existed, I bet you Philly could probably still win 30 games.
Right. Murph, from afar, you know, have you sort of noticed anything different about the Bucks? I don't know how much you get to watch. I know you do have League Pass. Have you been keeping an eye on the Prunty-led Bucks, or as you called it, the Prunty Posse?
Yeah, the Prunty Posse, Prunty for perfection, whatever you want to call it.
Trust the Prunty?
Yeah, I'm not going to rain on your guys' parade, but the Bucks have played no one since they made the move that I was, you know, pandering for, to release Jason Kidd of his duties, you know, 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, okay.
But they had to win those games. No question about it.
Right.
If they lose, as I said this when they made the trade, this was ideal. They had, 3 days off, and then they have a cupcake schedule until the All-Star, you know, break. Their two toughest games are on the road at Miami and at Toronto. You know, the Thursday night game.
They got Minnesota.
Minnesota's
tough. That's tough.
Minnesota's only lost 6 games at home.
The problem I have there, though, is I know they want to wait for Jabari to come back at home, but, I mean, that game is as close to being nationally televised. I don't think it's on TNT.
No,
but,
it's a shame it isn't.
Everyone that's at Super Bowl media week is going to go to that game. That's always a thing you do during Super Bowl week, is you go to the NBA game, and I think Jabari versus Andrew Wiggins is something that people always want to see.
I don't know if people care anymore, to be honest.
Yeah, they probably don't. But
I think Andrew Wiggins is the third player on that team right now. I mean, yeah, I get your point about having Jabari Parker.
And Jabari would be coming off the bench anyway.
And the thing is like, that isn't as much of a must. I'd rather beat the teams inside the division, and division record matters with tiebreakers and things like that.
And conference, too.
And the thing about the Wolves is that the Bucks have going for them is this will be the Wolves' third game in 4 nights. They were in Atlanta last night, or 2 nights ago, lost. They're playing the Raptors tonight in Toronto. They actually have the lead at halftime. So we'll see as we tape this. But so they're going to be a little weary. And, yeah, as long as the Bucks don't go out and have a night of deja vu on Wednesday, everything will be okay with that Super
Bowl. The Bucks did beat Minnesota at home in the weirdest game I've ever seen. Certainly in person.
No question about it.
Where, I don't know, the Bucks were getting blown out, but it didn't feel like it, and it kind of did, and it kind of didn't. And then Minnesota kind of ran out of gas, and the Bucks sort of took over in the last part of the third quarter into the fourth, and ended up winning the game by like 10 or whatever it was.
Yeah, that was a crazy game.
And it was just a weird game where that was the game where Malcolm Brogdon didn't play until like the 6-minute mark of the second quarter.
The shrugging of the shoulders and everything.
So
like
it was
that.
Just was all bizarre.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I mean, who knows what to make of the game on Thursday?
My thing with Giannis, though, is, you know, 41, 27, 31, those are his point totals since he came back.
Right.
Bronte's just got to manage his minutes. This is almost going to turn into a LeBron thing where you see Giannis sit down with like 2-3 minutes left at the first quarter, second quarter, just to get those bigger breaks that allows you with, you know, quarter breaks, halftime, TV timeouts.
Well, he's done it.
You're just going to have to manage his minutes better. Jason Kidd's an idiot.
Prunty has done a better job. That's the thing. Giannis had 41 on Friday.
He's going to continue to do that.
Giannis had 41 on Friday, and he played 33 minutes. So
that's perfect.
Right. That's perfect. 33, I'd say if you could stick in that 33 to 36, 37 range, you know, keep it significantly under 40, because he was playing, you know, where Jason Kidd would get in trouble is Giannis will play the entire third quarter and then into the fourth quarter, and, you know, the Bucks still hadn't pulled away, or the game would be, you know, they'd be down or whatever, and Giannis ends up playing basically the entire second half. And that's 24 minutes right there after playing, you know, then he would basically probably play the second through the fourth quarter, essentially, after sitting for maybe the last half of the first.
The biggest thing the Bucks, I mean, until the All-Star break on, you know, their last game is Thursday, February 15th, I really think they can only lose 2 games. They got to go to Miami in 2 Fridays. that's probably a loss, but maybe that Heat team doesn't show up. But, I mean, the Knicks twice, Orlando, Atlanta, I mean, Brooklyn, these are cupcake games that you need to gain ground on, especially with John Wall, you know, Tuesday right. reportedly out 6 to 8 weeks. The Bucks should look at the four seed right now, and they should just be – that should be the number one target.
Well, they're, I think they're, what, a game out of it right now?
Game out of it.
Yeah, it's all jumbled up.
At the same time, you know, basketball is basketball. Any given night, some team can beat you. I mean, Atlanta, like we just said, Atlanta beat a good T-Wolves team.
Minnesota also lost in Orlando, so that the right. precedent's kind of there.
Yeah, maybe Minnesota is not a great example there.
But no, you're right.
But it's like – fact of the matter is that there might be one of those games where the Bucks give away. You hope that it doesn't happen, but you have to make peace as a Bucks fan and as just a, you know, understanding that it's an 82-game season and weird shit can happen. But right. I agree with you. That
well, and look at last night, Monday night. The Sixers shot 3 of 26 from beyond the arc.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, that was pitiful.
Right.
And they were 0 of 18 before they hit one.
And if the Bucks would have lost that game, you'd have been like, wow, that was really a squandered opportunity, a bad post defense. They right. did it even without Embiid. And then, but they ended up pulling away basically because they started hitting shots. Dele came up huge.
Yeah, he did.
I think the other thing to talk about, and this can kind of weave in Jabari, is I think you can have other guys not named Giannis have big nights for the team. And
never seemed to happen before.
No, and that's big. And I think Sterling Brown's really starting to come on. He's as good of a defender on ball as I think the Bucks
have. Yeah, he's pesky.
And yeah,
he's Nolan Carroll should have been.
Who? Nolan Powell?
Nolan Powell.
Norman Powell? Nolan Carroll.
Damari Carroll?
Nolan Carroll is a corner for the Eagles, or was a corner for the Eagles. I don't know where he plays now. But
Ahmad Carroll.
Jesus Christ.
That's a snow tap legend right there,
Jesus
Nolan Carroll.
Christ.
You know what I meant.
How about Ahmad Carroll?
Ahmad Carroll, part of that Mike Pettine defense back in 2008.
Stop.
Oh, man.
One thing I was going to say, though, too, about the minutes restrictions and all that, or not restrictions, but just watching the minutes, is that you know, there will be times probably coming up here where, especially where you know, and just in general, trying to keep Giannis under 38 or minutes or whatever, that it's like, man, I wish he was in the court. But then you got to remember that you're going to get better minutes out of Giannis. You know what I mean? Like in him playing less, he's going to be more rested, and those minutes are going to be more effective and more efficient. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, that totally does. That is exactly right. And there are going to be other games where it matters more, whether it's the Cavs or the Celtics or, you know, one of those
right.
games
yeah.
where...
I mean, yeah, we'll have to see what happens in those kind of games.
Yeah, I think that's a good barometer. What's your... Either of you, Mitch, you could take it first, but what's your expectation for Jabari Parker coming out the gate? Do you think that any of the relationship with Kidd, like, remember when Jabari came back from his first knee injury, he kind of struggled, he kind of was timid, and little did we know that him and Kidd had this, like, broken relationship, and do you think that free-flowing comes out of Jabari as well, or do you think it's going to take some time?
I bet you it'll take a little bit of time. He'll come off the bench, probably do 15 to 20 minutes for the next couple weeks, probably till the All-Star break.
Right.
15, 20, probably not even 20, probably 15 max until the All-Star break, and just kind of get some feedback to the training staff and all that, see where he's at mentally. And I think, so you're probably not going to get any big games from Jabari.
Right.
You know, if you get a 15 or 20 point night or he gets hot somewhere, you know, he's had nothing but time to work on his shot. So,
yeah.
And he's, you know, everything you've heard, he's been ready to go really for the last month.
Yeah.
And he's just kind of been doing drills and sort of trying to overcome. I think this is about just overcoming the mental hurdle.
Yeah.
Until the All-Star break.
I totally feel that. Murph, are you fall in line with Mitch, or do you have any other spicy Jabari takes? Do you think I guess I'll ask you an alternate question. Do you think there is any chance that the Bucks are doing this? Frank Madden suggested it. He wasn't saying anything, that they're showing that Jabari's healthy for a week before the trade deadline.
I mean, I'm not ready to take my for sale sign outside of Jabari's house. It's you know, been out there from me for a while that I wanted to trade Jabari because we weren't able to, you know, lock him into a team-friendly extension. Yeah, I mean, I think it's the best of both worlds. If Jabari plays well, it helps the Bucks in the short term, and if he plays well and we and are able to trade him, that's, you know, even better. The only game that Jabari's not going to play, I don't think, without injury, is that back-to-back in Florida, Miami, Orlando. I'm sure they'll sit him down Saturday night in Orlando or, you know, Miami. But I hope Jabari, you know, Jabari basically got what he wanted. You know, he's been, you know, more than open about kind of like trying to settle into the city of Milwaukee, which I feel like has put a lot of pressure on the Bucks as an organization. And I don't really know what Jabari's future is with the Bucks, but I think in the near future, he just needs to be healthy and be a great sixth man. He needs to provide offense when Giannis is not on the floor, and then if it makes sense to play them both in crunch time, then do it.
Yeah, I agree. I would love to see that as Jabari's long-term situation. I don't know how much he'll agree with that. I think he wants to be a starter. Everybody wants to be the best player on the team.
Right.
You know, whether they should be or whether they admit it. You know, I think everybody wants to start and be the best player. But I think that Jabari would be perfect as a sixth man, you know, as the team stands right now, where you just need that guy to come in and, yeah, he can play. He can still play 35 minutes off the bench, you know. I mean, Greg Monroe did it often if it made sense when he was probably a starter talent.
Yeah, we'll see where Jabari fits in. I think it's going to be a lot of...
Yeah, and you can always adjust that in the playoffs. I mean, look at the Raptors last year. They found something with Norman Powell at the end of that blowout game in Game 3. And he killed us the rest of the series.
I think Prunty is going to want to play with all the different lineups, different connections, with the fact that he's not played with Eric Bledsoe yet. He's not played with Sterling Brown. He's had limited time with Malcolm Brogdon. I know that Brogdon and him played half a season, but if you remember, our great fucking leader, Jason Kidd, put Malcolm Brogdon on the bench for the first part of his NBA career as well. Yeah. So, you know.
That was smart. Oh, real quick. Breaking news, Kevin Love, broken left hand from Dave McMenamin of ESPN, out 6 to 8 weeks.
Wow. Yes.
Jabari, Kevin Love, trade rumors can go to bed.
Yeah.
Another big injury in the East, though.
That's huge. And now you wonder if that clears a path for DeAndre Jordan to possibly go to the Cavs, if that's a potential spot.
You thinking Kevin Love would go the other way?
I don't know.
I think it's going to be Tristan and the Nets pick.
Yeah, and you just have to wonder if that's where it's headed. Real quick, do we have any like 1 second takes on Blake Griffin going to the Pistons? Is that do we get it? Do we? I myself don't think
it's kind of a desperate move by Detroit.
Yeah, totally. A little bit, because Detroit has a new arena that they're not selling out, that they're not doing well in. And so they go after this. They're on an 8-game losing streak. They're trying to make the magic happen. And I'm like, who's going to play guard for you now? I mean, is it going to be?
And they didn't get any shooting in this deal.
Right. And so it's
they
like,
traded it away.
And how is Stan Van and Blake going to work? Blake's personality is not necessarily the most, shall we say, friendly guy.
Yeah, I mean, this is classic. I'm trying to save my job. Many NBA GMs have done this before, and, you know, Stan happens to be the coach. Who knows if he's on the hot seat or not, but I think, you know, with the Blake thing, the Pistons needed a star. It's an awful contract. Hopefully he doesn't turn into, you know, Joe Johnson. That'd probably be the worst-case scenario for the Pistons, but they were going nowhere, and I think there's a huge ownership GM coaching shakeup coming there in the offseason. I mean, you could, if Dan Gilbert sells the Cavs, he's going to want to buy the Pistons. He already owns half of downtown Detroit. And then depending on if Tom Izzo, and this is a whole other story for another podcast, but if Tom Izzo has to leave Michigan State, you know, him and Dan Gilbert are tight. He's always wanted to go to the NBA in the right scenario. I could totally see that with Detroit. I don't know how that helps Blake Griffin. He's got to feel scarred that he can't snuggle up next to Kendall Jenner, you know,
Via
one text anymore. But, I mean, Blake could just rot away in Detroit for the next, like, 3 years.
What was I going to say? Yeah, the Izzo thing, I brought that up on Daily Tap on Saturday. So go back and listen to a little bit. I talked a lot more about the Michigan State scenario and all that. What's going on there. So if you are interested in that, go back and listen. I don't think it affects the Bucks in any way. I think the Bucks are perfectly fine where they are. I don't think this is going to reshape the East unless the Pistons make another big move and get a guard. But I have literally no idea who they have left to trade. So
yeah. I mean, they have Drummond left to trade and Stanley Johnson. That's like what's left to trade. So, I mean, if someone really likes Andre Drummond that loses out on DeAndre Jordan, sure. But Drummond also has a huge contract and he is – not one-dimensional. He's a good passer, rim protector, but, you know, he's not like the modern NBA. But maybe, you know, if the Pistons decided to shake it up like this, I think, you know, we've already seen another potential trade try to go down today or on Tuesday with the Pelicans and Bulls that fell through for, you know, Nico Mirotić and Omar Asik. I think, you know, the best thing the Blake trade did is, you know, really kickstart the market, very much like, you know, the Yelich trade that I'm sure we'll touch on for the Brewers in Major League Baseball.
Dynamite transition. So the Christian Yelich trade happens. We nearly broke the story. You may have listened to that on a Daily Tap a while back. They also get Lorenzo Cain. The Brewers just kind of say, and they get Matt Albers, who was a great reliever last year.
Yeah, 1.62 ERA.
Great against righties, and it's the classic. We might need the Bobby Knight drop since I say this so much, but you may be here to fuck around, but I'm not. Because they are as serious as they get about, you know, making this team into a damn near contender. They just report yesterday, John Heyman had that they are very serious about Yu Darvish.
Yeah.
And so this Brewer team is obviously sees a window, and they see that the window opened up earlier than it was. And I think there's every reason to be excited about this whole thing. And Brewer fans, I mean, the excitement there on deck, it was apparently had over 1,100,000 people. And it was one of the most well-attended on decks in a long time. It seems like that fan, that casual fan hood is back.
Wait, how many people were at the on deck?
They said almost 11. They don't actually count it. So they thought
11,000?
11,000.
Okay. Yeah, that's pretty good.
I definitely sweated out a hangover in 2013 at a really unnotable Brewers on deck. So I respect that. I mean, the big thing here, though, I mean, Yelich, I think probably now the best-looking, you know, Wisconsin sports athlete over Aaron Rodgers. I mean, he's like a top 15 best looking dude in sports. And he is, I mean, if you see him near Cathedral Square coming out of Taylor's, you know what he's up to.
So there was that whole like picture that leaked out of him like eating ass a while back, and he said it isn't him.
I wouldn't do that in Wisconsin, but
absolutely not. Yeah, no, at Miami, you're dealing with cleaner buttholes than you are in Wisconsin.
Yeah, there's more bidets in South Florida, I think.
So yes, Yelich is a little bit of a lady killer. He being 26, he's gonna have some fun probably in Milwaukee. It's probably a little easier to take care of business in Milwaukee than it is Miami. But, you know, the Brewers have definitely a roster built for success, and there's going to be some expectations coming in. They're going to be the sexy team for a lot of people about saying that this team could win a World Series. I think that's a little intense. I talked about that, I think, on Sunday's Daily Tap. And also, like, I think that they just have – they have what it takes to get to the playoffs. Let's wait and see on the World Series talk. I think that's a little early at this point.
Oh, yeah. I think the Brewers need some pitching help for sure. Obviously, the Albers signing is actually more huge as I think about it. I mean, that bullpen was pretty thin.
Yeah.
And now that definitely solidifies it a little bit more.
Yeah, you get Albers, Jeffers.
You know, Jacob Barnes was not great down the stretch last year.
Yeah.
Excuse me. I liked him at the beginning of the year when he was untouchable with that slider and throwing 100 miles an hour. But, you know, when you're one-dimensional as a pitcher, you get rocked in the big leagues.
I don't know what to make of Jacob Barnes. I don't know if he's going to actually
I don't even know who Jacob Barnes is.
Well, see, and that's why you're dropping in when you matter. So let the professionals talk here, sir.
Jacob Barnes definitely still sounds like a serial killer for sure.
But no, he's good.
He's a really, really, yeah, really good interview.
And then, you know, Hader, they announced was going to stay in the bullpen. That was some move that you'd wanted when we had talked about Brewers this winter. You were all about keeping Hader in the bullpen. So you got that one. I was more on the side you should get him to start. I think what the Brewers want.
He's going to be all over.
No, I think the plan this year, really, now the more I thought about it, is that Josh Hader doesn't have that second pitch yet. And I think the Brewers really want to get that second pitch established before they trot him out as a starter, because they don't want to ruin his confidence. They know as a maybe two or three inning reliever, he can do the slider, the fastball, be nasty. But they know that to be a successful starter, he's going to need more than that slider.
Yeah, I agree that I think that's probably the best course of action at this point. That's a very good point about the, you know, starting him out there as a starter and he's only got one pitch and a bunch of home runs later, and next thing you know, you're sending him back to AAA or something.
Right.
And then we got major problems. So I think maybe just kind of stay where he's at for now. If they do feel well enough that his, you know, that second and third pitch is coming around, maybe around the All-Star break or something. Maybe you look at it at that point.
But yeah,
I think
just using him
in a situation he's done in the big leagues is probably the best course of action at this point. And I would, you know, at the time, you know, over the winter last time we probably spoke with Nolan, I was probably more on the hater as a starter side
as
well.
Interesting.
But I think that just the way, especially with Stern, some of his comments recently with Hader trying to have him affect as many games as possible, I think that's the best course of action. I do appreciate David Stearns, who has not made a bad move at any point. So
no, absolutely not. I would say two of the more things that people aren't talking enough about. I know that it's like we're all caught in the moment, and we're all. One of the things that I think no one's talking about is the fact that Orlando Arcia got red hot to finish the year and had a really good year, and that he's just kind of being forgotten when you talk about the Brewers' offense and how well they could be from top to bottom.
Yeah.
I think Arcia is a damn good player. I don't know if he's an all-star yet, but he's really good.
Yeah, he was also good. He was good most of the season last year. I mean,
right.
Really, probably the second half.
Second half when
everybody else was sucking. You know, Arcia was hanging in there.
Well, he started to show power. I mean, what
right.
Did he finish with like 15 home runs last year?
I'm not sure, but I would believe double digits for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't remember.
I'll look
him. That seems to, you know, ring a bell.
15 sounds about right.
Yeah, he showed some power. A little bit of opposite field power, if I remember correctly, too.
He swings a big bat, so he can kind of put it all over the place.
If only we could just get a DH in the National League.
Right? Because
all your problems go away.
Right.
You just have Braun DH, you know?
Yeah,
roll
right.
out Santana and Kane and Yelich, which we don't know, by the way, how that's going to break. Is Yelich the left fielder or the center fielder?
They think Lee Yelich is a left fielder. He won a gold glove in left a few years ago, actually. So,
yeah, I think that's more of his natural spot. That's what he more or less came up as. When they had Ozuna in center and him in left, and they flip-flopped him last year.
Ozuna, I think, was brutal in center field. I think he struggled a little bit, you know, with depth and everything like that.
And
I think
Lokane's still fine in center field.
Yeah, he still has speed. I think he still has a year or two left before that becomes an issue. And then we'll see what goes on with Santana. I think the Brewers got out in front of the Ryan Braun to first base stuff, because I think they still may want to deal Santana, and they wanted make people to say, okay, if we're not going to get rid of Santana, screw you guys. We're going to figure this shit out and we're going to be really good. And yeah, maybe we'll get rid of Keon Broxton because we don't need six outfielders. Keon's the odd man out if Santana stays.
I read on the Twitter the other day, Keon still has a minor league option.
I saw that, but I think Keon would just say, trade me. I don't think Keon wants to go back to the minor leagues.
Oh, he would throw a fit, I feel like.
I think he would just be like, trade me. Because I think Brett Phillips, at the end of the day, does more for the team than Keon Broxton.
Yeah.
He's definitely a better hitter, just overall. More power goes to Broxton, but I think Phillips adds way more to the mix. So I think that's where you go. The other underrated storyline I felt like mentioning was the fact that Junior Guerra has been just a stud in winter ball this winter. So whether he's figured
it out. Daily Tab.
What?
I heard that on the Daily Tab.
Hey, there you go. A loyal listener. Murph, as someone who's outside of you, I think you'd probably consider the Brewers your third team of the mix of Wisconsin's teams. How does this excite you? Is this something where you're like, I'm going to tune into more games, or are you still in wait or see mode?
No, I'm totally jacked to watch probably my first Brewers season to start it out since I was in college, you know, in 2012, at least, where we had some hope 2011. The only thing I will say on the pitching angle is I'm really kind of pumping the brakes on a Yu Darvish or even an Arrieta signing. I don't want to be burned by a Cubs pitcher again, and I almost don't want to put the cart before the horse, thinking this team is so ready, and I would love to kick the tires still on an Alex Cobb. What do you guys realistically think it would take to get Archer done from Tampa Bay?
I think you probably start at Santana and
Hader.
Yeah.
I would rather do that than pay those two, you know,
no.
Darvish and...
Go ahead.
I would prefer to trade for a guy. I think I agree with you. I would prefer to just trade for a guy and have him for a year or two and then go ahead and sign a 33-year-old pitcher.
I'd rather do a lot of Tom Packer. First of all, I would be fine if they traded Santana to the Indians for Danny Salazar. That's been thrown around. Fine.
Can't stay healthy.
But he has enormous strikeout potential, and you know, maybe you only do need him for 3 months, and then Josh Hader figures it out or whatever. So
Hader still is and has been my untouchable. But
no, I agree. I'm not one to trade Hader. Murph asked the question. Yeah. I'm not a Chris Archer guy because I think Chris Archer's stats are a little bit fraudulent from the fact that he plays in such a hitter's park. A pitcher's park. He's such a good pitcher at home that his stats get inflated by playing in Tropicana Field.
Yeah, and he's got kind of, you know, not the greatest numbers when you look at it.
And also too, he's kind of an asshole. Like, I don't mind a little bit of a, you know, a little bit of an asshole, and that'll.
Well,
shake
he did
it
get
up.
Drafted by the Cubs, so.
But you know, I don't know. It's an interesting chemistry mix, and you hear already about how the fact these Brewers are acting like they've played with each other for years, and that the chemistry already is they're in sync and ready to roll. And Theo Epstein had said, like, yeah, all the analytics matter, but chemistry is the most important thing about why the Cubs won the World Series. So take that for what it's worth. I don't know. I agree about the pitchers. I agree about getting burned. But at some point, you have to make – I think the Arrieta thing makes sense for the right price. If he goes to 3 years, fine. Derek Johnson, I think they worked together. I don't know. No, they didn't. I'm wrong on that. But still, they're. I think Derek Johnson's a fine pitcher.
Well, if Arrieta or Darvish wants to come down a year, I think that's a different story.
Darvish is only 30.
Given
though,
five years for 100 to one of those guys sucks.
Guys, Darvish is only 30 years old. Darvish has a lot of years.
I'd rather
left.
Have Darvish than Arrieta.
You could flip Darvish 3 years down the road for a bunch of prospects and retool and rebuild. And do that. Yes. I think Darvish has a nasty slider. Darvish hasn't had a lot of exposure to the National League, even though he played with the Dodgers. He was actually okay with the Dodgers, but everybody has it in their mind how he shit the bed in the World Series.
Right. He had a bad World Series appearance.
And that's in everybody's head. And I think that the Brewer fans have to not just be penny pitchers about everything. And I think we as you know, Brewer, Packer, we're all triggered to be like, well, that's too much money. We all are frugal about our money because we can't, you know, be a big market team. Brewers can show their dick and be a big market team with these guys. So
I just don't want to. Like, I just don't want to shell out the money yet. I would have to see. Like, I would almost rather do it next offseason. Like, if you say you were right on the cusp of a wild card this year and your team's young and you come back, then next offseason, you know, tell me what pitcher's available, then go pay out.
But isn't that when the real big boys are coming next offseason?
Next season's the big boys. Next season, you got Machado, you got Bryce Harper, you have Clayton Kershaw, you have there's a few.
Kershaw. I mean, we're not getting any of those guys.
No.
Yeah,
But that was my point was, I mean, I think the Brewers are still, you know, not next year, but the year after. I think they're still on that 2019.
See, I don't know yet. I think we that's TBD until to see where the dust settles.
Right.
With
if Dela Day Dave is not done yet, then I can amend that statement. But I think that as it stands right now, I think they're kind of content. I think with where they are right now in terms of, I don't know if they necessarily need that ace today.
So before we move on to the Super Bowl, what we really brought Murph in here, over under at this point where the Brewers roster sits, over under 87.5 wins, where are you going?
I'm going to go over and they miss the playoffs just because of how bad the Reds and Pirates are going to be.
Okay.
I think that's fair. I think over the Pirates, I mean, that's, I don't know how many.
So they're going to beat up on those two teams, you're saying?
So yeah, you're saying your logic is But the fact is the teams like the Giants, the Cardinals, the Diamondbacks, that the Brewers
the
are going to be the odd man
know.
Out again. Okay.
Yeah, I mean,
the
there's
Mets.
A lot of talent in the National League.
Well, if their pitching gets healthy,
it's definitely a top heavy league with the Pirates, the Marlins.
Well, Colorado's going to be good.
Colorado will be all right. Gave
there's
Wade
lot,
Davis way too much
a lot
money.
Of people to get past.
Okay, Mitch, where do you sit? 87.5.
87.5, I'll go over.
Okay, so we're all feeling good because I'm definitely over.
Well, they won 86 last year somehow.
I'm not feeling. No, I said it. I said it earlier this week that I did not think they're a World Series contender yet. You know, you must not have listened well enough.
No, I don't think they're. I don't listen well, but
they. Yeah, you must have been worried about what was next on the bang bus. But you know, it's like the fact of the matter is like I'm not saying they're a World Series contender yet. I'm just saying that they are on a good path, and they can compete with the Cubs. And people who think that the Cubs are so much better, and not saying you are, but this whole like defeatist attitude should stop right at the beginning of the season. And if it doesn't, I'm gonna probably lose my shit.
Are you kidding me?
I'm gonna. Oh, and that's a great transition. Our boy Paul Allen on the drop.
Shout out to Paul Allen.
Paul Allen's just probably so miserable this week. just
I saw him, he had some shitty setup on Radio Row. I was gonna tweet at him like I thought this was your home office, Paul. He still never responds to my tweets. I'm actually hoping to get blocked by him. But,
you're probably
he's, like,
muted.
Tucked away in the corner.
You're probably muted at this point, I would say. But
I give him a lot of hell.
How
he knows you're a Packer pinhead.
What's your favorite? Is to start a Super Bowl thing. What is your favorite? Is it people bitching about the kind of questions asked at Media Day, or is it the fact that Radio Row is in the food court in the Mall of America, just stuffed away, and like you guys really don't matter. No one really gives a shit about any of you.
Well, on the food court thing, I mean, everybody in sports media at some point is a huge fat ass. So, like, I'm sure that Shake Shack is doing just, you know, world-breaking sales this week.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean,
a lot of bad farts, too, on yeah.
Oh, it's just, no, it stinks up there. No question.
Oh, yeah. But I just think that, like, I mean, the Super Bowl media day, like, I don't need to hear about, like, how Tom Brady is going to, like, try to throw on the Eagles secondary. I like the funny questions. You know, Dave Portnoy from Barstool, if you don't know, Mike Babchak from Mad Dog Sports Radio, they ask ridiculous questions, and that's usually when you get, like, the funny answers, not when you ask Tom Brady, you know, how he thinks, you know, they're going to be able to throw on first down and what type of schemes they're going to, you know, throw. A lot of these guys, especially when you play the Patriots in a Super Bowl, they're, like, trained not to give them any bulletin board material. I mean, we don't have a Jalen Ramsey out there, you know, yapping his mouth
through
three quarters of an AFC championship game.
Such a shame we don't have Jalen Ramsey for a Super Bowl media day. That would have been fantastic. But, yeah, no, I agree with you. I think that just people are way too crotchety and just need to take themselves.
No one cares about this at all, like Super Bowl Media Week. Like,
right.
I don't think like the normal fan really gives a shit what like goes on at this whole week in Radio Row.
No,
more of like
it's
an insider thing.
It's a big self-promotion of, hey, look
it's
at
just,
me, I'm doing this.
It's just a big like walking advertisement that like just to me disconnects the flow of sports talk.
Yep.
Because it's you do say you have a 4-hour show. You might do one segment an hour without a guest that, you know, they're all irrelevant anyway. You might do one segment where you throw a topic out there that no one responds to because no one's listening. You know?
Yeah. I mean,
it's just
like. Do you really want to interview Joe Montana while he pitches some, like, diapers for 60-year-olds?
Right.
Like,
no, like,
unless you're going to take a shit on the air with us in these diapers, I don't care.
Yeah. We're here with Joe Montana. We're about to take a shit right here in these depends.
Well, or, you know, some even worse, some, like, third-string linebacker that retired in 2002, you know, a Chris Borland type, God bless him. Or, you know, of course, that's probably a bad example. So,
yeah,
somebody
like
who played
Williams
longer.
On the Packers, yeah.
Who?
Katie Williams, who was in the Aaron Brooks trade, like some no-name Packer linebacker that's out there pitching, like, some awful wireless service. And
right.
he, like, barely knows the copy points, and he has nothing to say other than, you know, he's just happy to have a free trip to the Super Bowl and go to Deja Vu two nights.
Essentially, yeah. So it's, like, completely irrelevant to have these guys on, but I mean, it's just, you know.
I love it. I love we got a little media talk in there before talking about the game itself, and Al and Chris will have it. I think we're all excited for that.
Yeah, the NBC's back.
Murph, looking at
rematch of 2004?
Yeah, no one cares. I mean, I don't understand why people have made a big deal about it being a rematch, not to jump on your throat.
13 years ago.
It's like, it doesn't matter. It's cool that it's a rematch. I mean, Philly and Boston have a natural rivalry. They're just all assholes who hate each other. But, you know, Murph, that line, I thought when it came out at, what was it, 5.5, I thought it was way too high. I don't know where it sits right now. You know, where are you leaning in terms of how this game is going to go? Are you with me on that whole the line's way too high?
I mean, in the league, they play for pay. I think the line is too low, actually.
Oh.
When I saw it, yeah. I'm actually, like, my trend right now is to actually buy the Patriots up to -10.5 or maybe even -14.5.
Wow.
I think this could be that Patriots blowout Super Bowl we're looking for. I think people forget that the Eagles had a nice season, played an easy schedule, and Nick Foles is their quarterback, and Doug Peterson, who is not the brightest bulb in the world, is their head coach. I have, and we'll get to the prop bets. I mean, I have prop bets littered with Eagles early on mistakes.
So does it change your opinion that Gil Brandt reported last night that Brett Favre is going to speak to the team on Saturday?
Does he have a chew in his mouth or no?
I bet he will have a chew.
I think Brett, I think that's great, but, like, I mean, Brett Favre won one Super Bowl, lost another one, and, I mean, who knows if he ever should have won that Patriots Super Bowl with everything that was going on with Parcells and Belichick. But I don't think the Brett Favre thing really matters. I mean,
I know.
Like,
I was saying more in jest.
Do you think Malcolm Jenkins gives a crap who Brett Favre is?
No, but I'm happy that Brett's going to be involved with that. I've been pining for this for a while, that Brett needed to get involved.
Favre's getting back. He's getting back to the...
Well, that means he's going to be at the NFL Awards, which I don't think Aaron Rodgers is going to be, because he's going to be playing at Waste Management Pro-Am on Wednesday.
He's going to be at Danica's next race.
Well, she lives in Scottsdale too, so I feel like he may just bunk up there for.
Oh yeah, he's just gonna be beating. He
doesn't
beating,
want to go to the.
Nah,
the game.
He's just gonna be beating cheeks.
Are we gonna go to the Waste Management Open this year?
This weekend. You want to make?
Oh, is it this weekend?
Like, later.
It's this weekend. I mean, that would be a great snow tap road trip. Just saying. I mean, Mitch hates golf more than I think most people in life.
That's not true.
Yeah. Well. You act like it. You don't like when we talk about it in our group chat. You get very fussy.
You're a slum if you play DK golf.
No, you can win a lot of money doing that way, brother.
I bet you can. So, but I wouldn't know.
Yeah, exactly. Anyways, that went off rails. That's very interesting that you think the Patriots are. I get that. That's a very sharp bet, I think, from the sense that I think everybody's on the Eagles.
Can we get spicy?
Yep.
I'll give you guys a question.
Yeah.
Okay.
Say the Patriots win. Does Tom Brady retire?
No chance. Once the three-peat.
No, there's been never a three-peat. That's number one. And B, I think he doesn't want it to be like he retired because of that story that Seth Wickersham put out about Brady and Belichick and Robert Kraft.
Oh.
If they knew
all the time versus time stuff.
And
like, all week they've been promoting that.
And also, if they knew Brady was going to retire, there's no way they would have traded Jimmy Garoppolo. Not a chance.
Yeah, he's not going to do Robert Kraft like that.
Yeah, that would be – I would be stunned. I would be floored if Tom Brady retired.
Belichick, Pratt, to your question?
Okay, yeah. That's a little more interesting. That would be maybe the most funny troll move on the Colts is if Belichick retires.
I was
going
to say, is McDaniels to the Colts
just
done yet? Or?
I mean, it's a done deal, as we've said in the Shock of Smart world, where it's hashtag done deal for all you Marquette fans out there. So it is a done deal, and same with Patricia, who's just a goofball, who I'm just going to love Packers playing against for years, by the way. But it would be so funny to screw the Colts that way and just take McDaniels as the next Patriots coach.
First prop bet, Bill Belichick +2,500 to retire after the game.
Ooh, that's nice. That's a nice little prop bet. So I had said that, and you had mentioned you think Nick Foles isn't there. I think Doug. So I am on the other side of you. Like I think Doug Peterson is a pretty good coach. I think he knows how to get chunks of yards. The Patriots have not faced, you know, an offense like Philadelphia's, you know, since the playoffs. They've played Tennessee and Jacksonville. Jacksonville, you could argue, maybe had 30 plays in their playbook to work with, given that Bortles had the wrist injury that I think probably affected him way more than we.
And he's self-admitted trash.
Well, he's fine. Don't do Blake like that. But anyways,
Blake is awful.
No, I'm not ready to. I don't know. Maybe I'm too much of a Barstool dick rider, but I like Blake.
There it
I
is.
I don't know. That's fine.
All right. I mean, I'll agree with you that they've played two versions of the wing T offenses in Tennessee and Jacksonville, but like the Patriots are the Patriots. They're pretty good.
Yeah, but that defense isn't that great. I mean, I get given Belichick's 2 weeks, but that defense has not stopped the run all year. They're averaging 5 yards a carry against them. Ajayi should have a nice day. And then you have, you know, the Philly has got big plays on almost everybody they've played.
Yeah, I mean, Alshon Jeffrey, you know, I think Nelson Aguilar is the only Eagle that I would really bet on from a prop bet standpoint, just due to how the Pats have, you know, surrendered a lot of yards to slot receivers at points. But, like, I mean, Jay Ajayi, he is going to be – Belichick is going to take him out of the game so fast. And I can't stand Jay Ajayi as a person. He is just
an
awful, awful human being from my few interactions with him. But I just don't see – like you said it, 2 weeks for Belichick to prepare. I mean,
right.
That's why I think early and often this Pats team, they could be up like 14-0
so,
in the first quarter.
So why don't you tell us – why don't you make the people money? What kind of prop bets are you looking at, you have your eye on at this point since – everybody seems to be making their prop bets this time of year.
Okay, so I'm going to go first reception, Deion Lewis, over 5.5 yards. I like that little check down. I also have, this is odd, but we'll just get it in there.
No.
Tom Brady usually throws a pick in a Super Bowl. That's plus 115. I think Brady can survive without, you know, with throwing a pick. Will there be a safety in the first half? Plus 900, yes. I mean, this is too, Nick Foles has no idea what's going on, and all of a sudden, you know, he gets sacked by one of those no-name New England defensive linemen. I love that a lot. Continuing on this trend.
Is Rob Ninkovich still around?
No, he retired.
No, he's retired.
That's what I thought.
Kind of, yeah. Continuing on this trend, though, you know, once the Patriots are up big in the first half, I have Nick Foles plus 220 in the third quarter for a touchdown pass.
Okay.
And then I'm hitting all the Nelson Aguilar over. 43 receiving yards, over 16.5
nice.
Is longest receiving reception, and will he score a touchdown? Yes, plus 190. I know Alshon got a lot of shine, you know, in the NFC Championship game, and then, I mean, Eagles punt first, that's plus or minus 160. Tom Brady over 2.5 touchdowns, plus 150. I think this is I am all over a Patriots route, and I also think this is a Gronk game. You know, we've all had all those games of the Patriots in fantasy or betting where James White has 3 touchdowns or, you know, some no-name. You know, Kyle Rudolph had that touchdown early in the NFC Championship game, the only score for the Vikings. I think Gronk scores a touchdown here. That's plus 130. If he's healthy, he's going to be part of the game plan. There's so many bets. I mean, I literally printed out 32 pages of paper. I killed a couple trees.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
This. Yeah. Here, okay, we'll do 2 last sports ones. Who will have more points, LeBron rebounds and assists, or Eagles-Patriots second quarter points? LeBron playing the Rockets on Sunday. I like
Saturday.
That
it's a Saturday game. You got to get that bet in early.
Saturday. Excuse me. But I like that. That's pretty much even money at minus 110. And then for as much as Pratt hates golf, Hideki Matsuyama, fourth round fairways hit, minus 110, or Steven Gutkowski points in the game.
That is a wild. That's just where you're going.
Hideki crushes waste management. Hideki crushes waste management. He's won it twice.
I know.
This is a no-brainer.
Yeah, you go Hideki.
That's the lock of the
is he the one guy who's not hungover on Sunday or whatever? Is that why is that his secret?
He's steady focus. Goal. He has an iron stomach. No Asian flush for him.
I lied. Okay, then you have to bet the MVP. I mean, this is like a no-brainer. Brady right now to win the MVP is, you know, 4 or 5. I actually like Gronk at 12-1 to win the tight end, and then I'll probably put a flyer in Nelson Aguilar 30-1. You know, a couple years ago, Seahawks, Broncos, we had, you know, the field win the MVP and Bobby Wagner. That's 25-1 this year.
No, so that's like because they know these no-name Patriots come out of nowhere and get that. So
I remember in years past when the Raiders beat the Buccaneers beat the Raiders. A safety won it.
Dexter Jackson.
Corner. And then Deion Branch won it a couple years later.
Oh, yeah. There have been some random ass, you know. And the Super Bowl MVP is always weird because, like, if you remember that Packers Super Bowl, there's no reason Reggie White shouldn't have won that Super Bowl MVP. Why Reggie White didn't win it it's kind of crazy to me. And
it's a great – or, like, Nick Collins in the other Super Bowl.
I mean,
he had a big – like, you could totally go the other way, and sometimes they don't always give it to the quarterback.
Right. Absolutely, yeah. It's weird how they do it. I don't even, how does it really get decided?
Is Santonio Holmes?
Well, that was a great.
That
catch.
Was a great
it was,
catch.
And it was Malcolm. It was Malcolm Smith, by the way, who won that? Who won the?
Not Bobby Wagner.
Right.
Even more of a no name.
Yeah.
I think it's by the voters, Chuck. Here, let me get some fun ones in here.
Will any
players take a knee during the national anthem? I mean, biggest stage. I think for sure.
I think you
got to
do
plus
it.
Plus one. Yeah. Yes. Plus 275. I like that a lot. The Trump bets, I don't think Trump's going to go, depending on how the State of the Union goes tonight. Will Trump attend the game? Yes, plus 400. I'll probably hit no on that. And then for all of you Al Michaels lovers out there, will Al Michaels or Chris Collinsworth say Danny playoff? Yes, plus 240 for Danny Amendola. will they mention Pro Football Focus? Yes, minus 200.
Oh, that's
and
lock.
Then, yeah. Will Al Michaels say underdog? Yes, minus 1,000.
Wow.
So, yeah, you're going to have to pay up for that.
By the way, Danny Amendola dating Olivia Culpo just isn't fair. That's just
he's a gorgeous, gorgeous couple.
Yeah, they're both gorgeous. She's just a rocket. Just thought I'd have to mention that.
There's all these bets though.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
The funny ones, like, you know, Collinsworth is so like corny. I like him a lot, but like he'll say City of Brotherly Love and, you know, I'm not going to bet on, go ahead.
No, were you just about to say you're not betting on the national anthem or anything related to like Justin Timberlake or.
I might not bet on halftime, but like.
Is there a wardrobe malfunction prop bet?
No, there's a Janet Jackson prop bet.
Plus 1,500, yes.
For a wardrobe malfunction?
That'll never happen. You can guess his first song. I think he probably comes out with Can't Stop the Feeling plus 150 to get that frozen crowd going in East Dakota.
Yeah. I could. I think
I better get some Rock Your Body.
I also like the prop that one of the members of NSYNC would come out on stage. I think Chad Millman said on Part of My Take he thought it would be Joey Fatone. Which,
yeah, plus 150 there.
Yeah, I think you got to bet that. Get a little NSYNC. Get a little
plus 300.
What's plus 300?
Britney Spears?
Britney Spears.
Oh, man. If Britney Spears, I might need a cigarette if Britney comes out.
Jesus. Oh, big Britney fan?
I'm a huge Britney fan.
Leave Britney alone.
Yeah, I'm a big Britney guy. We can get Britney back in a Super Bowl.
Oh, okay. One last one, and then we can get done with the prop bets.
No, it's fine. I love it.
This is like an advertising one. How many times will the word dilly be said during the broadcast?
Oh.
Over 12 and a half. So that means they probably say dilly dilly at least four times in a commercial. So that means Bud Light needs to air three to four commercials for this to hit. I mean, I'm a degenerate, but some of these I just don't want to sweat out.
Yeah, I don't know if I could sweat. I got to ask myself where I am in life. I'm sweating out a dilly dilly bet.
I would take the over on that. Yeah.
I bet on the State of the Union tonight, but I mean, that's just because there are some good odds.
Well, sometimes you just got to do it. When there's good odds, you have to do it. So that's something there. So prediction.
Wait, Mitch, what are you thinking for the game? We didn't really.
We're getting there.
We're getting there. We're getting to predictions. We got it. Okay. We got it. I'm a professional. I know this. All right. So Mitchie, who you got in the big game?
I think the Patriots will get it done. I just think with Nick Foles and everything, and even if it was Carson Wentz, I think he's still a little too young to overtake the GOAT. I think the Patriots win it. I'll say 27-20.
Okay. So you have the Patriots covering.
Getting 27 points on the board against Philly's defense scares me, but I think that Belichick and the boys can have a game plan. The Patriots always have that wrinkle in the second half or whatever that, you know, they just seem to, you know, make the adjustment and get the job done. So that's essentially where I'm at.
Murph, you obviously have already, holy shit, we just got real breaking news. Not to interrupt, but the Chiefs are trading Alex Smith to the Redskins.
Really?
That just came across.
How is that possible?
I have no idea. I just got the notification.
There's an agreement in principle from Ian Rappaport for Alex Smith. The deal will be finalized tomorrow. Wow. I would have
Holy
pegged him to go to the Browns.
Shit. How mad is Goodell? How mad is Goodell right now that they just did this over Super Bowl week?
I didn't even know you could make a trade over
I didn't
Super
either.
Bowl. I thought you had to wait until the game. I mean,
There must be
something in the CBA once you're done for the season. I don't even
what's,
know.
What's shocking about it? The fact that he got traded or the fact that he's got traded to the Redskins?
That he got traded this week.
The fact he got traded this week.
I thought it was pretty much common knowledge they were going to trade Alex Smith.
Well, this week you just don't make deals during the Super Bowl. Like you let the dust settle out of the new year, and they got
a
deal.
Yeah, this is like A-Rod. Yeah, like A-Rod retiring during the World Series.
Yeah,
it's sorry for the coughs, but yeah, that's crazy. I didn't mean to interrupt, but holy shit, that means Kirk Cousins is no longer a Redskin, probably.
Yeah, that's
all right.
That's crazy
also,
too.
Yeah, from Andrew Brandt.
So is Kirk Cousins going to go to the Browns?
Maybe, I don't know. Go ahead, Murph.
Or Steelers. Sorry, I keep interrupting here. But Andrew Brandt, procedural note, NFL trading window opens on March 14th, 6 weeks from now. So this deal may be agreed to tomorrow, and it legally will not go into play for 6 weeks.
Wow. A lot can happen in 6 weeks.
Yeah, I mean.
Wow.
This is really weird. Really weird. Anyways, back to the game. Murph, where you obviously are all over the Patriots. What do you put a number on your final score?
Yeah, I think I'm going to go 34-17.
Okay.
So my 14.5 covers.
All right. I'm going to take the Patriots, but there's something about the Eagles, man, that I just think they could do it. I think they have like this whole underdog thing, this nobody believes in us. I think Nick Foles is better than you guys are giving him credit for. I have the Patriots reluctantly winning 24-21 in quite a close game and a really good Super Bowl played by two really good teams. And my Super Bowl MVP will be Deion Lewis. I don't know if you guys want to give your Super Bowl MVPs before we ride out here.
I think it'll be Tom Brady.
I'm going to go Gronk.
Okay. So that's that. We all are going with the Patriots in some fashion or another.
Mitch, no fun podcast here.
No fun podcast. Murph, thanks for joining us, buddy. Always appreciated. Folks, if you're looking for more Murph, he's going to maybe be doing some draft stuff. Not maybe. He is going to be doing some draft stuff for us come April.
Signed the contract this morning.
Signed the contract. Afternoon. We're good to go. That is actually a done deal. So look forward to that. Murph, always a pleasure. You can find him at Nolan Murphy on Twitter. Sweat out his prop bets with him. Bet a couple with him as well. Should be a lot of fun.
As always, fellas, thank you, and we will talk soon. Go Packers.
Yeah. All right, go Pack.
All right,
guys.
Later.
This wraps up another edition of Tapping the Keg. Look forward to Daily Tap tomorrow. You can find us Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, SnowTapWI. Subscribe on iTunes. Subscribe on Google Play. We will be back next week to talk more Bucks. And who knows, maybe Deal of Day Dave gets us another deal done. So for Mitch, I'm Charlie. Take care, guys. Have a good week. See you.
Trust the Prunty.
Trust the Prunty, baby.